Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man with the Nature Boy, the greatest of all time, Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
Man, better than I deserve. Excited to be with you today. And well, you're a whole year older than when we spoke last week. Wow. What's it feel like to be 74?
I don't know. My problem is I still feel like I'm 23. So I just look 84 or 74.
Good problem to have. As we're recording today, I think you mentioned as we got going, today is Ricky Steamboat's birthday.
It is.
How about that?
Greatest baby face of all time.
No question. The perennial baby face. Jim Ross and I recently did a profile on him, and we don't think that he probably even could have been a heel if he tried. Like, that dude was just so likable. Yep, exactly. There's just something about him. He's hard to boo.
Ricky Morton the same way. And basically, even though because it was territorial back then, it was very hard to make Jack Briscoe as handsome as he was a heel. But he was a heel when he came to other territories, you know what I mean? But how do you look at handsome Jack Briscoe and make him a heel, you know what I mean?
No doubt.
So there have been a couple of them that special. And Ricky's right there in that capacity, man, for sure.
Well, everybody wants to know what the Nature Boy do for his birthday celebration.
We had a party at Boulan, a new place here in town.
How
fantastic!
Was it?
Yeah,
awesome.
It was a great party. Thank you.
So let's talk about what else happened over the weekend. XFL football is back. We're a couple weeks in now. Have you had a chance to catch any of it? What did you think?
I have caught a couple games. You know, it's for me, it doesn't create a lot of interest for me personally. I think the guys are playing lights out, but I think I'm like a lot of other people. Without any name recognition, it's hard to latch onto a team. It's like, you know, as I get older, all the guys that I knew that were playing one by one, I mean, the last being Tom right now, and then I'm hanging on to Aaron Rodgers. And because I know Aaron fairly well, but the rest of all my guys are gone. So I'll be pulling for wherever Aaron goes this year.
Oh my gosh. With that amount of money, he's getting like over $60 million. He ain't going anywhere. He's staying in Green Bay.
You don't think he'll go to the Jets, huh?
No, not for $60 million. You stay put and just collect.
No, he's gonna make the same money. I hope he stays in Green Bay. But, you know, who knows? The big news for me is LeBron got hurt again, damn it. Lakers were really looking good. Came back from 27 points. And, God, did you see Barkley yesterday with Stephen A?
He was on fire.
Was he great?
Barkley and Deion Sanders have been on fire the last few weeks.
Yeah. He just can't get away from Barkley. It's so, so real. I love it, man. And Stephen A, that was a great 30-minute commercial-free gig, man.
Let's talk about the big fight over the weekend. It was a spectacle. Jake Paul is going to go down with his first loss. He finally fought a quote-unquote real boxer, Tommy Fury, the younger brother of Tyson Fury, who came in 8-0. Of course, Jake came in 4-0, and Jake threw fewer punches, landed fewer punches, and lost the split decision. I got a chance to watch it. Did you get a chance to see any of that?
I watched the entire thing, and to me, it wasn't even a split decision. He got his ass whipped.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I didn't realize, if someone had told me that Jake was 40 pounds heavier. So I was assuming Jake would, you know, with his 40 pounds in weight advantage. When I found out the guy weighed the same, I just went the opposite way. It's not really fair. The kids, it's fair because they're making a lot of money to begin with. But
yes,
when I found out he weighed the same, I thought Jake just was out there on guts alone because he got crunched, man. I mean, the kid went down to a knee for a second, but I mean, he came right back up. I don't think it was even I don't think it was close.
I didn't think it was close until the knockdown, but you know, I know that Tommy Fury's camp tried to act like it was a slip. It was not a slip. Jake knocked him down.
Yep.
I do think we'll get a rematch, and I think it will do big business. That was really Tommy Fury's first time being on a card this big, especially in a headline position. So he made a ton of money, and it was because of the notoriety and influence that Jake Paul brought.
Oh, once again, I'm taking nothing away from Jake. He's a tough kid.
Yes. Yes.
But he's not supposed to be beating real boxers.
No, he's not.
So, if I were him, but that's an example of why I don't think he wants to fight Mike Tyson.
No, no.
He's a real boxer. Can really smack you around. And Mike is in really good shape. I see him all the time. He's running 6 miles a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he still trains.
Well, listen, I know for sure that his brother Logan is going to be a big part of WrestleMania against Seth Rollins. And just knowing that this guy is a natural heel, I got to say, I'd kind of like to see Jake Paul do some stuff in wrestling space too. What do you think about that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's great. Both those kids are better than some of the guys that do it full time for a living. I'll stand by that comment all day long. Are you kidding me? And until you told me last week that Sean was training Logan, which now makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought, God, the guy just got incredible natural ability. No, I think they're big and they draw money.
There you go. And that's the name of the game. And
that's all there is to it. Draw money.
This weekend is the big AEW pay-per-view. They're going to be in your old stomping grounds for TV, the old Cow Palace, which I know you've had more than your fair share of matches in, but this weekend
absolutely.
Is a pretty big time show. It's a really loaded show, a heavy wrestling show. If that's what you're looking for, boy, they got it in spades. The main event is MJF and Bryan Danielson in a 60-minute Iron Man match for the AEW World Championship. What do you think happens here, Rick?
Well, first of all, I love those kind of matches. You know how I feel about it, because there are so few people that can pull them off.
Yeah.
Because they have to go 60 minutes, right?
Yes.
And that alone is an art in itself. And I don't give a shit when anybody says, if you haven't gone 60 minutes before, I don't think MJF has done an hour Broadway before, has he?
I don't believe so, no.
And I don't know if Brian has either, but I mean...
He has.
They certainly have the ability, but a lot of it will depend on timing and pacing, and it's going to require to be really good, and they'll be judged by a guy like me very heavily. Because they always say, oh, the old-time guys couldn't have... Me and Steve Mo could do them standing on our head. Me and Ricky Morton could do them standing on our head. And we didn't sit in rest holds and headlocks and shit like that. Some guys you had to, but there's some guys that could go an hour without blinking an eye. Harley, Jack Briscoe, I mean, it's a lost art. Because the guys don't have to do it. But I think the audience will love it, and I expect both the guys, because they're really good, to put on a great performance. But time will tell. The last 15 minutes makes or breaks it. Actually, the last 10 minutes, they got to save everything they have for the last 10 minutes, because they can forget about the first 45 and wish it hadn't even happened until the last 10. That's when we'll see what they got. That's a lot of pressure.
Last year at Revolution, MJF had his longest match in AEW history so far. He went 38 minutes and 9 seconds, and he beat CM Punk. Mm-hmm. That's a big show. I mean,
That's still 22 minutes short of an hour.
Yes, it is.
Me, I had my blade out 3 times. I was taking my blade out for the 3rd time going into the last 20 minutes, hoping there was another place I could cut myself.
Do you think fans, like if you were booking this, would you put a 60-minute Iron Man match on last? Not one where, you know, it could end at any time. I know you used to have a lot of 60-minute time limit draws, but that's not what this is. Regardless, they're going 60 minutes. I would think you would start the show with that rather than finish with that. What do you think about that?
I think if they are, I think, I know what you're saying, But I would be, if I'm supposed to be the champion, it's for the title, right?
Yep.
Champion's got to go on last. I'm emphatic about that. Champion goes on last. If you're supposed to be the best and supposed to be representing the company, you go on last. And you follow whatever you have to. And God only knows, can imagine what it was like trying to follow the Road Warriors and Dusty and Tully and Arn and Magnum and the Road Warrior. I mean, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll. I mean, God, sometimes I look like a guy like Nikita and say, motherfucker, we got to restrap it up tonight, man. Because that was not Nikita's forte, but we did a bunch of them. as I did with Dusty. I mean, all those guys I wrestled for an hour.
When it's all said and done, who do you think gets their hand raised? MJF, or do we have a new champion in Bryan Danielson?
I would leave it at MJF. I certainly would.
Next up, we've got a tag affair. The Guns, Billy Gunn's son, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn are going to take on the Acclaimed, Jay Lethal, and Jeff Jarrett. And of course, there's one more opportunity. So there's still a mystery team that can earn their way into that shot. I personally, I'm a homer. I want Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett to be the heels with the tag straps and have the Acclaimed chasing. What would you do?
Same thing.
Yeah.
I think Jay and Jeff have caught on to something right now, and it's good. And they'd be giving us 10% of their purse.
Listen, I'm not going to argue that. We know how that pairing came to be. They beat your ass to death in a damn parking lot. The least they can do is send a little vig up.
Send me a little bit, just a little bit, Jeff. Come on.
We got a Texas death match that's got a lot of intrigue. Yes, I know it's in California, but the rivalry really had the heat turned up in Texas. So it's a Texas death match with Hangman Adam Page and John Moxley. Who are you picking there?
Moxley. He's good in those matches. Well, they both are. But that's right up John's alley. John is that rugged, tough guy that just look at him. John's really good in those kind of matches. I'm picking John to win.
Samoa Joe will be defending his AEW TNT championship against Wardlow. Of course, we heard the backstory that those guys became friendly, and Wardlow had grown his hair out to sort of honor his father. And after Samoa Joe beat him recently, he cut his hair. Mm-hmm. So the TNT title is on the line, but it's a lot more than belts. It's family pride. Samoa Joe coming in as the big time heel and the champ. Who are you picking, Samoa Joe or Wardlow?
I'm picking Samoa Joe.
Keep that story going.
I don't know enough about Wardlow. Sorry. I mean, I've only seen him perform a couple of times, but Samoa Joe is a good heel.
Great heel.
Yeah. Real good.
Speaking of good heels, Chris Jericho's one. The Jericho Appreciation Society will be banned from ringside when Jericho wrestles Ricky Starks. Have you had a chance to catch much of Ricky Starks? He's a pretty good promo. I think you'd dig that.
I have. And I think this is a deal where it's kind of like with John. If it happens, I think it's going to where John is going to wrestle Austin Theory.
Yep.
It's one of those deals that being able to wrestle at the level being able to wrestle and hang with a guy, the level of Jericho's notoriety and his skill will make this kid. It can make him or break him.
So you're going Ricky Starks?
I'm looking for Jericho to put him over but give him a hell of a match.
Well said. I'm looking forward to that. Jamie.
Yeah, I think Chris knows that he's got nothing to gain. And I think Chris is more about helping. He's a lot like Cena. I think he's more about helping young guys come along, and it's not going to hurt Chris's legacy at all to help this kid out.
No doubt. He's a made man. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Jamie Hayter is a made woman. She's the AEW Women's Champion. She's going to be defending in a three-way against Ruby Soho and Saraya, the former Paige from WWE. What do you expect here?
Saraya.
Me too.
She's looking good. I watched her the other night. She looks great.
And then the match that everybody's going to be buzzing about, the six-man tag team championship for the AEW World Trios titles. The Elite taking on the House of Black. It's Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. You going with the Elite here, or is it time for a switch?
Put up the graphic for them. Okay, I had to make sure I knew what I was talking about. I'll be honest with you. I like the Elite.
Yeah, me too.
I like the Elite.
Well, and the other thing I know you like is eating good. You've heard us talk about some of the great products from Titan Nutrition, including their powerful testosterone booster, the Test Launch,
woo! And
the powdered weight loss formula in Light. Today, we want to highlight another great product, Stage 7, which is their high-protein meal replacement formula. Each serving of Stage 7 has 24 grams of protein, 12 grams of carbs, and only 3 grams of sugars, with 6 delicious flavors like toasted banana cake, brownie batter, and strawberry shortcake. Stage 7 is a great replacement for a meal or a delicious snack in between meals. It's easy to take on the go and crush it in the car to help you avoid some unhealthy snacking while traveling. Help keep your diet in check by adding Titan Stage 7 to your diet. You won't be disappointed. Go to TitanNutrition.net and use the code FLAIR at checkout, and you'll get 10% off your purchase and get free shipping. That's TitanNutrition.net with the code FLAIR to save yourself 10% and get free shipping. Listen, we took to Twitter and asked if our listeners had any questions for you, and I definitely want to hit those. But before we do, I want to ask, because it was a pretty controversial topic last week. Did you see the Wrestling Observer Awards that came out? Did you hear about those?
I did not.
Let's run through a few. The Wrestler of the Year, which is known as the Ric Flair Award. Jon Moxley comes in at number 1, Roman Reigns at number 2, Will Ospreay at number 3, and Okada at number 4. What do you think of that? Jon Moxley, Wrestler of the Year last year.
Well, I think he's done a hell of a job, but I this is certainly nothing against Jon, but I don't see how you go against Roman.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess because she had some time off, but I'm stuck on this. I think Ashley's the best worker in the business, and I know that
she took most of the year off, though. In fairness,
yeah. No, I'm saying if she stays healthy all year long this year, and they don't give it to her, there's something wrong.
Tag Team of the Year was a runaway. FTR got a ton of votes. They're number 1. Mark and Jay Briscoe, of course, we just recently lost Jay. They came in at number 2. Young Bucks at 3. Usos at 4. FTR last year, I believe, only had six televised tag matches last year.
The best tag team in the business right now is the Usos.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you factor in size, which they're both 240, they're not 2'5", not 2'10", not 2'8", they're 240. They can do anything athletically. They're fearless. I'm really stuck. I love FCR. This is not a, once again, I always got to qualify because people get their feelings hurt. But, I mean, how do you not go with Roman Reigns, even though I love John?
Right.
Because Roman has just done so damn much for the business. I mean, and how do you not go with the Usos? I mean, that's been a year-long angle that has really paid off.
Well, I think, and I know you didn't have a chance to see it, but one day I want to sit down and watch the FTR Briscoe's dog collar match. It's unbelievable. I really want you to see it. I think that might sway your opinion, but I hear you. I think a few years ago, we all thought, man, FTR versus the Young Bucks, that's a dream match. Now it almost feels like it's gone the other way. It's FTR and the Usos. I would agree with you. They're probably 1A and 1B in tag teams right now.
Well, let me tell you something. When FTR was with WWE, those matches were incredible.
Yes.
Incredible. They're Tully and Iron.
Yes.
They are. And then the Usos, you just got to factor in, they're so damn big. They're big kids. And they're 240 pounds, both of them. And that, to me, that factors a lot in what they do in the ring, because you're getting, they can do the splashes. They can jump through tables. They stay relatively healthy. I mean, I have a hard time getting around the Usos right now. So, but I mean, that just to be even mentioned in that, and the fact that the fans respect them that much, and that award has been going on so long, and believe me, it does mean something to these kids to get that award.
Yes.
That's the most important thing, is the marks out there or the fans out there that think us is all bullshit. It means a lot to them. It's not a payday, but to win a Dave Meltzer award or any of these, I mean, it meant a lot.
Yeah.
You don't realize it till people are talking about later on. And what did I get? 6 or 7 of them or something like that. I can't even remember, but I didn't realize it at the time, but people still talk about it today. So it means something.
You won it in 1983, 1984, 1985, 1986, 1987, 1990, 1991, and 1993. So you won it 8 times.
8 times. Why, hell, no wonder. Again, that's some pretty stiff competition back then, too.
No doubt. The Best on Interviews award went to MJF, and it wasn't even close. This is his second time winning it. That puts him up there with guys like Roddy Piper and Jim Cornette and yourself and Stone Cold and The Rock. What'd you think? MJF have the best promos last year? I think so.
I'd have to say, yeah, I can't think of anybody had better ones. No, he brings a lot of energy, and I like his whole presentation. I mean, interviews, it's not just what comes out of your mouth. It's the way you present it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's the canter, the demeanor, the arrogance. I mean, there's a lot more than just what comes out of your mouth. And yes, he's very good. Very good.
Promotion of the year. And this became somewhat controversial. All Elite Wrestling came in first place. Stardom came in second place. WWE came in third place. New Japan Pro Wrestling in fourth, and the UFC in fifth. I don't know about that one. I love me some Tony Khan and AEW, but promotion of the year and Stardom, how does that beat WWE?
I don't possibly know how. I mean, first of all, it's not those guys, just that aforementioned card you just did for AEW is as good a card.
Yes.
As WWE has, with the exception of a few people. But you just can't. I don't know how anybody can put anything ahead of the WWE. I talked to Tony during my birthday. It was great. I felt one of the things I felt good about is I'm in a good place with both companies, which proves this factor that was really important. Tony, if you're critical of something and you do it, and you but you point out the reasons why you're saying it, this fact about where people thinking that Tony is sensitive or Hunter is sensitive and that, it's bullshit. It's the way you present it,
right?
I mean, and who it is who's saying it. So if somebody is saying it that actually knows the business and has paid the price to be in it and be successful, they don't mind being critical. And all I said was last week, and it got all kinds of press. I thought I was hoping I didn't piss off Tony. But when I read it, what I said was he invested in football. He's got a soccer team.
Yes.
And it doesn't hurt to step back.
Right.
And obviously it didn't piss him off. So because he texted me on my birthday and it just, Hunter did. I mean, I'm in a good place, and that's all I want to do. I want to be happy. And I think the kids know that I'm just giving my opinion. It doesn't mean it's right, but it's an opinion that comes from experience. Whereas I can name 35 or 40 people that say things that they don't even have the right to talk about because they don't know.
Right.
And they haven't been near the locker room and they haven't been near the talent. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so they're just shooting from and they're going to say something that's hurtful. And it's just, what you and I think we accomplish in our format is we speak the truth. There's nobody more knowledgeable that's not a wrestler, in my opinion, than you. And I've met a lot of people that follow the business, but you, I mean, I think you know it as well as Dave does. Because you've been watching it for years, you loved it, and you've met so many of the components personally. Yeah. So you know the inner workings of it. So, yeah, I'm just happy to say that people are I think like our podcast because we are, you know, we're fair and we're just giving our opinion. It's not to hurt anybody, you know. And it's not anytime you say someone's better, then you say, "Well, God."
But what about so-and-so? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the truth. It's, not everybody can be number one.
That's true.
Not everyone can be number two. And if you're in the top five, you're damn lucky.
Yeah.
And if you're in the top 10, you're even luckier. You know what I mean? So, and yeah, I think that's why you and I could run the show. And that's why hopefully people enjoy listening to it.
Well, they do. And I appreciate that people enjoy watching Dynamite. It won best weekly TV show. I would probably agree with that on the whole when it came to the United States Canadian MVP. Mm-hmm. In order, it was Jon Moxley, Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho, MJF, and Bryan Danielson. I got to think Moxley, as the rumor goes, had some scheduled off time planned. And then when everything happened with CM Punk and the Bucks or whatever that was, they decided, hey, can you stick around? And he did. He really did help carry AEW last year, Jon Moxley.
Oh, absolutely. God, I'm not saying that because I'm close to him and Renee, but I am. But I mean, like I said, I think Renee's a big component of the show now too. But it's just, you're talking about a company that's been in existence for 3 years. As opposed to WWE. So it just, you know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
But it's certainly not good of lack of talent or effort. And that's the key word. The kids work just as hard. Just because I don't know all of them, because I'm not around the AEW locker room, doesn't mean I don't respect them. I respect them all.
MJF won most charismatic. Bryan Danielson won the Bryan Danielson award. That's not a joke, but my man has won that technical wrestling. And that's what it is. It's a best technical wrestler award. He won it in 06 and 07 and 08 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. And now of course he's won it in 2021 and 2022. Moxley won the best brawler award, which is the Bruiser Brody award. Most overrated. This is one you may have an opinion on. Ronda Rousey. In your opinion, is Ronda Rousey overrated?
Well, my response to that would be Ronda Rousey is a world-class athlete, but she hasn't wrestled enough to be considered the greatest wrestler. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If she had been, if she had trained to wrestle as long as she trained for MMA, she'd be one of the all-time greats. But she is one of the greatest athletes in the history of the female division. I'll leave it at that.
And, I think that's true.
And a very charming, nice young lady that is tougher than shit. But it, you know, it goes out there and makes it happen for everybody.
The Rookie of the Year award goes to Rick Steiner's son, Bron Breakker. No argument for me.
None for me either. I can't believe he's not on the main roster yet.
You got to think after Mania, he's coming up, right?
Every time I see Rick, I go, "What the hell?" He goes, "I don't know," because he's been there a while. Sometimes when he's such an integral part of the show, they don't want to let him go.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they're taking care of him financially.
Oh, you got to assume, yeah.
Because Tony would pay him a fortune.
Well, I don't think we got to worry about that. I think WWE is going to open up the checkbook.
No. I'm just saying if he didn't, I'm sure, Tony would jump on him in a second.
The Best Non-Wrestler Award went to Paul Heyman. No argument for me. He has helped level up Roman in a way that is hard to beat.
The best, what award is that?
Non-wrestler.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. The Worst Television Announcer. I want your take on this. It's, Corey Graves wins the Worst Announcer Award. Booker T comes in second. Jim Ross comes in third. I don't know about that. Maybe I'm in the minority. Clearly, I guess I am. I like Corey Graves. I think he does a great job.
I think he's fantastic. I can tell you the worst announcer is, but I'm not going to say it. Corey Graves is fantastic. And Jim Ross, whether I'm getting along with Jim or not, Jim Ross is a hell of an announcer.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's my personal feelings for Jim and I. We go back and forth over stupid stuff, but it's hard to ever factor Ross out. And I'll be honest with you, I think Schiavone does a hell of a job.
He is crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know why that award right there. That's just people are. Negative. It's what?
It's a negative bullshit.
It's negative.
Rick, let's take a time out right now to tell everybody about Woo Wings. Ric Flair's very own virtual restaurant brand is now operating in more than 50 locations across the country in 17 different states, with many more on the way. You can order the legendary flavors and world championship Woo Wings from your Uber or Postmates app in all of these states: Alabama, Arizona, California, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. Whew, Flair is on tour, baby. For a complete list of current locations or to find out more about becoming one of Ric Flair's restaurant partners, visit RicFlairWings.com. Remember, Woo Wings is a virtual brand, so it is delivery only. And the food is made by restaurant partners with an existing location who are looking to add more to their bottom line. If you're in a Woo Wing city, order today from the Uber Eats or Postmates app and try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time world heavyweight champion, Woo. So now here's something else that's a little negative, Rick. The Worst Major Wrestling Show. The readers of the Wrestling Observer voted that last year's Royal Rumble, not the one last month, but last year in St. Louis, that was the worst major wrestling show. The second worst major wrestling show was the Elimination Chamber over in Saudi Arabia last February. The third worst wrestling show was GCW's The World in January in New York last year. And in fourth place, the worst major wrestling show, according to the readers of the Wrestling Observer, Ric Flair's last match.
We took fourth?
We took fourth in the worst major wrestling show.
That's good. Right?
Well, let's keep the hits going. They also have a little topic they vote on over in the Observer Award.
No, but that means we're not the first worst.
We're not the first worst.
Not even the second or third. I'll take that.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. The most disgusting promotional tactic. Number one was WWE Vince McMahon appearing on television for a crowd pop after sexual misconduct allegations. That was number one. Number two, WWE continuing the relationship with Saudi Arabia. And number three, the most disgusting promotional tactic, Ric Flair's last match.
Well, I don't pay attention to that. you know what I got to say to that?
What's that?
I made $300,000. Go fuck yourself. That's right. I made $300,000. Disgusting you.
Yeah.
Disgust yourself for 300 grand.
Worst match of the year.
And get in a shape that I got in. How about that, motherfuckers?
At 73, by the way.
Yeah.
Worst match of the year, Pat McAfee versus Vince McMahon, Arlington, Texas. The second worst match of the year, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal against Ric Flair and Andrade in Nashville. Second worst, Rick. Come on now.
I'll take that because it was a shit.
there were worse matches last year. My gosh.
No. But here's the deal. It was a shit because I made a mistake in hydrating. Let me have it again.
Will you stop?
I'm serious. I think about it all the time. Let me have the match again. Because the one thing I never thought about was to keep myself hydrated, which I found out my doctor told me the other day. I just went to get my heart tested and all that. He said, the only thing wrong with you is, he said, to my new doctor here in Tampa. So he's reading my medical records. He goes, you drink 9 to 12 beers a day. And the same, it's like the psychiatrist, right, from years ago. I said, you do that every day? He said, I'm looking at your blood work. And all I can tell you is that if you're going to keep drinking like that, you got to stay a little bit more hydrated. That's the only thing. So just drink more water with the booze.
Oh, my God.
He goes, I assume you're not going to quit drinking. I said, you got that shit right. Just drink more water.
So it's not that your alcohol ratio is too high. It's that water's too low.
Believe it or not, water affects your kidneys. If you don't drink enough water, if you're drinking a lot of booze.
Yeah.
Because the 9 beers, I didn't even tell them how much vodka I'm drinking every day. come on. And you, of all people, putting that phony blue shit in your vodka.
Hang on now. It's vodka water. I'm drinking water. And I'll never forget one of the first times me and you were hanging out.
Yeah, vodka. You're right. That's right. You need to drink more water.
I'm chugging water, dude. So
that's what I'm doing now, though. But my kidneys have been through a little more than yours.
That's fair.
I mean, mine stopped. mine in 2017, mine said, fuck you, Rick. We do not work anymore. You're dead.
I love you for that.
It's the fucking truth. Wendy, tell me I'd bring the goddamn special doctor down there to get my kidneys pumped up.
Oh, my goodness.
Come here, Wendy. Yeah. This is great to get on the podcast. Come here. We're talking about the
Hello. Hi. So I guess we're tagging you in for a kidney story.
Yes, a kidney story, huh? No, we're at the hospital and I told, they could pump in vodka and stuff. So, and they wanted to do that. I said, no, we need to get a new machine in here. We need to fix his kidneys. Is that the story he wants me to tell you? Because that was what was happening.
Oh, because they stopped.
Yeah. His kidneys and the machine wasn't working. So we had to go get a different machine, a brand new machine that hospitals didn't have. So I went to the staff. It was very hard to convince them that we need this new machine here. Now the hospital has probably 10 of them, but it's because of Rick.
So he's worn out Stairmasters and kidney machines.
Yes.
Okay. All righty.
That's it. That's his story. He's
the
it.
Iron Man.
He, you know what? The Iron Man or the Bionic Man.
One of those.
His theme for next year's birthday is Bionic Man.
I like that.
Bye.
Nice to see Wendy here on the program. A little running, a little hot tag.
Conrad. So Wendy leaves now, right? Wendy lives here now, pretty much. Like, she's going back and forth. So last night at American Social, she said, she said to me, I'm going home. I cannot drink every night with you. So I've drank all weekend. I can't. Now, Now I get to sit in American Social by myself. Wendy goes home watches TV.
Well, you do have your name literally on the bar. I can't believe it.
I know. I found a new place too. They're going to put my name on it.
Oh my gosh.
Wendy goes, you enjoy. I'm going home. I'm not going to sit here and drink with you every goddamn night.
I love it.
How good is that?
Oh my gosh. Let's do a few more awards.
It's the best of both worlds.
They got to put you on a leash or something down there.
And we got the porn channel fixed too.
Oh, yeah. How can we live without that?
Now I don't have to call you for room number 280 in your private room downstairs.
It was $5.99, by the way. Worst promotion of the year, according to the Wrestling Observer. WWE. Come on, man. Worst promotion of the year. They had their most top line revenue ever. They had their biggest profit ever. How are they the worst promotion of the year? That's just silly.
I don't know. I don't know, but getting back to my last match.
Yeah.
If the things that are surrounding it, what was that thing we did with ESPN? Give me the stat on that again.
It was the most viewed combat sports story of the year. It was on the front page for more than a day. Nobody else could claim that.
Yeah. And didn't we also have the biggest crowd in the history of that building?
It wasn't the biggest crowd, but I mean, it was the biggest in a while. I mean, WWE had ran it recently. AEW had ran it recently. We outdrew them. Yeah. But yeah, all time, you guys sold it out for Starcades and Nitros and all that.
Okay. I don't remember.
Here's what's crazy. I think you did draw more than when it was you and Flair and Steamboat and Funk. That's where he gave you the pile driver on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think we drew more for that. Yeah.
There were more people for a one-off show than there were for you and.
Yeah.
Steamboat for the title back in the day.
I'll take those accolades.
Best booker of the year, Tony Khan. That surprises me. I thought for sure Triple H had it last year. I think Meltzer kind of agreed too. He even says, I usually don't comment on this. And for the first six months of the year, you can make the argument that WWE and AEW as businesses were in the same position with one much larger, but clear cut 1 and 2 in the world all year. However, it was WWE that grew all year, while AEW did not do as well as in comparison over the last 8 months. Tony Khan wins Booker of the Year again.
Well, I can't, you know, the fans decide, but, you know, I think that, once again, I don't know the answer to that. It's just hard to compare WWE to AEW because of how long WWE has been around.
Right.
And it's just that big. So I don't know. But I mean, even though I think that he should look back sometimes and because especially during football season, if nothing else, because he doesn't miss anything. You know that, right?
Right.
I mean, he does the stats for the game, the football game.
Yes. Yes.
And he goes to practice. I was saying he's closest to it. It's okay to be that close, but sometimes you need a fresh group. But he takes a damn much pride in it. I got no problem with him giving that to Tony. Because trust me, Hunter has a lot of help too.
Oh, for sure. He's got a whole staff.
I mean, Hunter's got me. I mean, let's talk about our buddy Bruce. I mean,
yeah.
Hunter's got 20 guys and Tony probably has two. So yeah, give it to Tony. But you can't take anything away from Hunter either.
No doubt. Promoter of the year.
And once again, the fans do not dictate our business. And it's nice that they want to have a say in it, and we appreciate that, but they don't dictate. It's a popularity contest. You know that. We all do.
Promoter of the year, also Tony Khan. Dana White came in second. Rosie Agawa came in third. Paul Levesque in fourth. Nick Khan in fifth. And all the way at the bottom, eighth, is Vince McMahon. Promoter, by definition, in my opinion, means who drew the most money, whose business made the most money. Vince McMahon should have won that. And it's not close, but Tony Khan did. And then best gimmick. I think you and I will both be aligned here. It was a blowaway. Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, no, just one thing, and I told you that I think what's going to be important now, and this is a very fair statement, is let's see how Sammy does without being part of Roman's deal.
Yes.
That'll be the measure of his success. If he can maintain that momentum, where like Kevin Owens has maintained momentum for like 5 straight years now or something like that, right?
Yep.
Kevin taking those crazy bumps and all that. Now let's see what Sammy can do without being part of the bloodline. That's when you really find out if you're over or you had that what we call fleeting fame.
I can't wait to see what's next for that bloodline storyline. Of course, Cody Rhodes announced as we're recording this last night on Monday Night Raw that Roman Reigns is on SmackDown, and this Friday Cody Rhodes will be on SmackDown too. So I'm pretty pumped to see what happens there. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a big AEW pay-per-view weekend.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
The 5-star reviews are in, and it's confirmed. SaveWithConrad.com can save you thousands. Jimmy E writes that we saved his family more than $1,000 a month. James S says we saved his family more than $1,200 a month. But how much can you save? It's free to find out right now at SaveWithConrad.com. But if you've got a second mortgage, if you've got credit card debt, or even worse, if you're in a 30-year loan, it's not a matter of if we can save you money, but a matter of how much at SaveWithConrad.com. But for the rest of the show, let's hit some questions. I jumped on Twitter last night and asked, hey man, you guys got a question for the birthday boy? Let's hit him up. Brad Gilmore, friend of the show, says, I want to know about the night he faced Hogan for the WWE title in 2002 on Monday Night Raw, how that came about, and did he feel a certain amount of pressure? And how was Hogan to work with in the ring at that point of time?
A Monday Night Raw. Oh, it was great. It was great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love working with Hulk. No pressure whatsoever.
It felt like all the times though, did it not? I mean, that could have been 10 years prior and here you guys are in 02 doing the thing.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, we made, you know, kind of like what Bruce said in the documentary, I didn't get over that. I think I was over better when I was 50 years old in WWE than I was before, but I certainly had a good time during both runs. So that's kind of how I measured. I mean, I was happy but I've never had a problem putting Hulk over, man. And guess what? We were probably sold out then.
Yeah. 02 was a hot time for the company for sure.
Yep.
Bobby wants to know, what was your most memorable birthday gift from a fellow wrestler and who was it? Do you have a memorable birthday gift you can share with us on the air through the years that a wrestler got you?
That a wrestler got me?
Yeah.
Oh, my most memorable. Well, Dusty was a Boston Celtic and I was a Laker, right?
Right.
So we exchanged he gave me a Laker sweatsuit and I gave him a Celtic sweatsuit.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, just stuff like that. I mean, Chad gave me some Louis Vuitton tennis shoes this year.
How fun is that?
I haven't worn tennis shoes. You know, people wear them now like dress shoes.
Yes.
I guess you know that. I mean, in Las Vegas, nobody is undressed. There's no more Ferragamos. It's tennis shoes. So
yes.
I may wear them out tonight.
They're comfortable. Megan got me some for our anniversary last year. They're comfortable.
Hey, I remember I walked into TV one time in a pair of jeans and a sport coat. I'd never worn jeans in my life. And I walked by Vince and Vince stopped, turned around and said, what the fuck are you wearing? Are those jeans? I swear to God, he said, are those jeans? He said, what the fuck has Ric Flair done to himself? I said, well, I'm trying to be youthful. More youthful instead of too late.
I love it.
That's what God said to me. What the fuck have you got on? Good Lord. Are those jeans? Yes. now I wear the pants and jeans.
I love you for that. Listen, we did actually get a question about that. Has Rick ever had an accident during a match?
Just once.
Was that the match against Steamboat?
Yeah, with Tommy Young.
What, were you sick that day, or did you eat something? That-
no, I just had an accident. Just who knows?
What happened?
He suplexed me. Something flew out. The worst part was we had to wrestle another 30 minutes.
Why didn't you just go home early, Rick?
I don't know. Who knows? I think that's when I started wearing black tights.
That's a good call.
Now, since my surgery, I wear two sets of Depends and always carry three pairs of pants.
My goodness. John Hayes on Twitter wants to know, is there a wrestler through the years that you never got to wrestle, but you wish you had? Is there one that you missed?
No, not when I was active, but the guy I wish I always could have wrestled, like, even in my early 50s, is Roman. He's the only guy I wish I could have wrestled that I didn't get to. Because I wrestled everybody else.
Noel Jr. asked a question.
Not at my best, but at least I had a chance to be in the ring with him, you know?
Right. Noel Jr. on Twitter says, my question is, if the roles reversed in the late 80s, with Sting going to the WWF and Jim Hellwig going to JCP, how would both men's careers have panned out?
Sting would have been huge. Hellwig would not have worked at the JCP.
Not for long.
No.
Danny Boy 316.
Probably not a day.
Really?
Can you see Jim Hellwig getting along with Ole Anderson?
Well, that's fair, I guess.
Let me be honest. Harley Race?
Yeah.
So Sting would have been huge either way, and was, and is.
Here's a fun one from Jeff Goodrich.
And I'm just saying that because Jim was hard to do business with.
Right.
And that wasn't a word. Like when he didn't want to do the favor and he held him up somewhere. You think someone's
going to Square Garden, SummerSlam? Yeah.
What do you think Harley Race would do in that situation?
Broke his leg.
He'd walk over in the locker room and beat him up so bad, and he'd throw him out the door and tell him not. I mean, that's the way it would happen.
Right.
I mean, that's the way the business was back then. Jack Mulligan, can you imagine that? I mean, I can't fathom that. I just can't.
Jeff Goodrich wants to know, did the Horseman chewable vitamins taste awful?
Never had them.
I love you for that.
Yeah, I never ate one of them. I don't think any of the Horsemen ever did.
Jim Joyce says, any memories of working with Leo Burke?
I never worked with Leo. I know him, but I never worked with him.
Danny Boy 316 says, what are one or two of your all-time favorite hotel bars to party at?
Hotel bars?
Yep.
The Marriott on Riverdale Road. The Marriott Harbor Master Baltimore. And the Safari Club at the Sheraton of Baltimore. Three. Very famous.
Wow.
Very well represented bars. I got a lot more. I mean, hotel bars, let me think. St. Louis, what city? God dang! Come on, get serious. The Miami Airport Marriott, the bar at the Fort Lauderdale Airport or Fort Lauderdale Marriott on the water. Come on, the Mayfair in Coconut Grove. We had baby grand pianos in the room. I mean, oh, and of course the Bismarck with the general.
Trevor Owens wants to know, did you ever see Jim Cornette back down from anyone in an altercation?
No.
He was fearless, wasn't he? When he was feeling it, he was forward.
Jimmy had big balls. That's why I respected him.
Yeah.
I don't think he thought he was very tough, but he wasn't afraid to say what he thought.
Right.
I mean, I listened to that promo he cut from New York on Hall and Nash. You remember that?
It's fantastic.
I mean, I thought, holy fuck, you know, but clearly he wasn't afraid to say it.
Right.
I can't remember what it was about. I guess it was, they'd come to, had they come to us?
No, they had just gone to WCW and done the NWO thing.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, I can't remember, but Jesus, what a promo.
D-Fresh 96 wants to know, any memories working for Don Owen?
Oh, God, great. One of the greatest promoters of all time.
What made him so great?
Well, number one, he paid 10% like everybody else was supposed to. Number two, he was a very gracious guy. And number three, he loved the business, and he didn't make it hard on anybody. It was very easy. Easy territory.
Let's do one here from...
The greatest story about Don Owen is, you know, he owned a huge cattle ranch. Wrestling was just, yeah. He had over 2,000 head of cattle. And so when he would go to Vegas or for the NWA convention, he would always take everybody out to dinner, like 40 people, right? But he wouldn't buy fish. He said no shrimp cocktails, no fish, just beef products.
I love it.
Yeah, no, maybe let the maybe shrimp cocktails, but no fish
entrees.
Everybody had to steak.
Here's one you'll have to think about. Patrick J says, apart from his daughter, who would Rick like to induct to the Hall of Fame?
Well, number one, I would love to induct my daughter, but I don't want it to be me. I want it to be Hunter. Hunter or Stephanie. That'd be my pick. She probably has her someone in mind too. I'm just off the top of my head, I can't think of any two that have been more involved in her life. But who would I like to see inductor?
Who would you like to induct?
Oh, who would I like to induct?
Yes.
I think I've inducted. If they put him in, I'd like to induct Muda. I knew him better actually than Sting did. You know, I just wasn't able to participate and wrestle with him. You know, Muda was there when with Reed, right before Reed passed and all that. That's where Muda was. He's a special kid to me. I've always liked him. I'd love to induct him.
Do you think if Sting is still with AEW when they finally put Lex Luger in, you think you'll be the guy to do that?
I hope so. And yeah. I don't think Tony would have a problem with it.
Yeah, I would think Tony would be okay with Sting doing that.
Hell yeah. Why not? It makes everybody look better.
Yeah. Greg Hill wants to know, what's your go-to style for Rolexes, Daytonas, Yachtmasters?
Well, right now, as you know, they're impossible to find.
Yep.
So,
you've always been a day date guy though.
Yeah. I've got this one that the company gave me, and I've got one, a really tricked out one that Ollie made me, my rapper Rolex.
There you go. Bling out one.
The bling one. You've seen it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I wear this one all the time. The one the company gave me for my 70th birthday. Pretty special.
Ryan Pritchard says, what was it like working Hawaii for Miss Maivia?
Entertaining. Different.
How was it different?
Leah was great. I mean, she just, I'd wrestle with somebody for an hour and Lee would say, Ricky, we didn't do that well at the box hall, but I have a painting for you. She gave me a painting one time instead of a payoff. A painting too big to put me back on the plane. It's still there.
It's still in Hawaii.
Yeah. But boy, Leah didn't take any shit, man. She was, when she and you were together, man, and they were having a minor disagreement. It took 30 cops to get him out of a bar in San Jose one time. That's both of them. Peter, just like Haku, man, the original Haku.
Mickey Shea.
Hey, think about this, walking around Minneapolis, 30 below zero. And what do they call those lays? What do they call them?
The flower necklace is a lay.
The shorts.
I'm not sure what that's called, but I know what you're talking about.
And shower shoes.
Yeah.
30 below zero.
That's different.
Yeah. He was immune. Lava.
Mickey Shea wants to know, what are your thoughts on Nature Boy Paul Lee?
He's a nice guy. He's just, I don't know. I mean, he actually believes he's a nature boy. So I used to be a little bit offended by it. Now I just take it with a grain of salt. He's a nice guy. He, yeah, believe it or not, he's been very successful. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have met you if it wasn't for him.
Brendan wants to know, what are Rick's memories of being part of the Hulkamania tour of Australia in 2009?
Well, God, it was brutal. It was a lot of fun, but man, we both weren't. I look back at those pictures now and I hate signing them. I go, oh, God damn it. I said, who's getting these? Who wants this damn thing signed? He looked better than me, but I was in shape cardiovascular wise, but I was way past. I should have been wrestling in a bodysuit.
That's right.
What?
You were fine.
No, getting man boobs from hell.
Randall Wallace wants to end this show on a high note. He says, "Would just love to hear some Wahoo McDaniel stories. And who hit harder, Wahoo or Ronnie Garvin?"
Not Wahoo. Are you kidding? The reason I don't have any calcium in my valves and my heart is Wahoo knocked it all out. And then Garvin did it 20 years later. You kidding me? I had a dream that Wahoo chopped my pacemaker the other day. And I woke up and thank God he went there. He hit me so damn hard. And when he got tired, he'd miss, right? That throwing you in a rope and coming off and chopping him in the world is going to get a windpipe, mouth, nose. Oh, God. Wahoo was a man and a half. I mean, Wahoo is the closest thing to Jeremiah Johnson I've ever met in my life. And I never met Jeremiah Johnson, but everybody saw the movie.
Yeah.
Hunt, fish. I mean, all that shit. Like him and Steve Austin would have been best friends. I mean, he did love that stuff. He loved to go out in the wilderness. Fearless, carried two guns everywhere. And he was married more times than me. He was married 6 times. So, you know, he had some fun. And, I mean, wow, the greatest picture I've ever seen in my life. And I walked into the foyer of Wahoo's apartment in Minneapolis. And he had 4 guys standing there. Charlie Pride, Lee Trevino, Wahoo in the middle, Mickey Mantle, on Billy Martin. That's who he played golf with. That's where all his money went. He lost money. You can't play golf with Lee Trevino and win.
Well, boys and girls,
he had great memorabilia. Wow. Played for the Jets, you know, Dolphins, Broncos.
What a life.
Yeah. It was a man and a half. Man and a half. You know, it's funny. When he got diabetic and they put him on insulin, he just, I took twice the insulin and kept on drinking. I said, "Chief, you can't drink the Crown Royal." I said, "Yeah, I can. I just give myself 2 shots.
My goodness.
Yeah, no, he was tough. Wrestle an hour, stay out all night long, and go play 18 holes of golf again and wrestle an hour again. I mean, he ain't enough speed to move a boat across the harbor here.
My goodness. Well, folks, that'll do it for us today. We greatly appreciate the program. If you haven't already, go hit the subscribe button on our YouTube and tell all your friends to be back next Wednesday right here on To Be The Man.
Woo! You got to beat the man.